My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
Hey, welcome back. You're still listening to The Mark Moss Show, where I talk about Bitcoin, I talk about cryptocurrencies, and I talk about the decentralized revolution. And of course, each and every week, I'm bringing to you the asymmetric information, the information most people don't know, don't have, so you can have an edge in the market, so you can have the asymmetric upside of having that information. Now, we've been going over a lot of stuff so far today. If you're just tuning in, don't miss next week. Pull out your phone right now, set a calendar appointment for this time on this channel. I'm going to be with you each and every week. But we've been talking about the debt ceiling, the Fed printing a lot of money, the catalysts that drive the price of Bitcoin up. We talked about how it's back to the level it wasn't. It's been about 5 months since it's been there. And really understanding that there's two factors that drive that. One, network effects, the amount of people coming in, but also the development that's going on. And so we talked about Bank of America coming on, bringing on more customers, more development, et cetera. But I have brought a good friend, an old friend, into the studio with me right now. I got Wendy O. She's known as Crypto Wendy O on Twitter. Give her a follow. Look her up. Just Crypto Wendy O. And anyway, Wendy, thanks for joining me.
Mark, thanks so much for having me. We've been friends for quite some time, and it's just so cool to come up with people that you love and come up with like awesome people to surround yourself with. It's like, it's a great thing. Cause if I never need anything, I can call you on the phone. Hey Mark,
yep.
Can you help me with this? What do I do with this? And you're like, hey, calm down. It's okay. We can do da, 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 da. So just thanks for being you.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, we've both been working hard over a long number of years now. And just for everybody listening, she just got done doing a segment on Fox News. And I was lucky to snag her right after she was done on Fox News. So she's doing out big things as well. What were you guys talking about on Fox News?
Well, we talked a little bit about our good friend, Bitcoin's good friend, Peter Schiff, because Peter Schiff is apparently mining gold at Knott's Berry Farm in Southern California. And I know you guys can get that joke with the little the little thing over there. So we talked a little bit about Peter Schiff, and then we also talked about, you know, how to kind of spot some crypto gems and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah, Peter Schiff is a funny story. You know, it's funny, it's maybe a little bit sad. You know, when I made a lot of money, and in 2008 I got wiped out. I knew how to make money, but I didn't understand this financial system. And so when I started learning, like, Peter Schiff was like very instrumental in helping me figure out why we need to sound money. Him and Mike Maloney were both a piece of that. And from like an Austrian economist side, like, he gets it. He understands the problems of the financial system, but like, he just won't give up on gold, I guess, for whatever reason. And it's not working.
Well, I think what it is Peter is a very smart man, and a lot of people on social media, they're marketers. That's the name of the game.
Right.
And Peter has found that by being an enemy of Bitcoin, it is bringing him attention. It is bringing clout. It is bringing clicks. It's bringing revenue in. So why wouldn't you want to start a internet beef with Bitcoin?
Well, I think you're 100% right on the mark with that. And there's a number of people that are trying to do the same thing. This Hanke is kind of doing the same thing as well. But what's interesting with Schiff is, I mean, he runs a gold company. And so, you know, gold was money for 5,000 years. Now
Bitcoin, follow the money,
right? But what's interesting about that is, as I'm just thinking through it, is gold is money for 5,000 years. Now Bitcoin's kind of becoming the store of value. So he sees that kind of attack on his gold, for example. But if he kept the attack on what the Fed's doing, then it could still kind of make gold look good. But when he keeps making gold compared to Bitcoin, all it does is make it worse, right?
Well, this is the thing. He has a personal interest in gold for multiple reasons. He's invested, he's got the company, he's got the courses, he's got all these things. And he also sees all of the interaction on Twitter, on social media, all the backlash, because let's face it, Bitcoin maximalists, I respect their right to be so passionate about something, but some of them can be a little bit toxic.
Sure.
And he knows how to push their buttons and rile them up. That's why he's doing it.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, humans, they have personal areas of interest. And his personal area of interest is himself and his company and his money. Therefore, he's doing all of this fighting back and forth with the maximalist because it gets traction, it's getting interaction, and it's worked out very well for him. So why side with the Bitcoin maximalist when he can simply continue to build his wealth and his brand on the hostility?
Yeah, and you're 100% right on that. And that's unfortunately... That's unfortunate. That's the way that engagement really gets going today, right? Is inciting that kind of anger and really that us versus them mentality. And so if they can put Bitcoin against gold, now I would like for Bitcoin and gold people to both rally against the government. That would seem better. But it would also make gold look better because he could at least kind of argue that it's held its purchasing power. But again, comparing it to gold hasn't been. Have you seen some of the stuff his son has been tweeting out?
You know what? Again, it's a very, it's a marketing tactic. What they're doing is a marketing tactic. So that's why I'm going to drop a piece of alpha for the audience. The biggest piece of alpha I could drop for you is follow the money and don't necessarily believe everything you see on the internet. Listen to different people. Listen to what they're saying. But make your own assumptions because a lot of theatrics go on. Back in the day, we used to go watch plays. And we used to see people perform. Then we went to the movies. There's different areas of entertainment. But now in 2021, all of the entertainment we see is all done online. Twitter is a stage.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's interesting. Before the internet, it was the problem was getting the information. Today is we have too much information. So now it's like trying to discern the information. So the problem has changed. It's a different skill set, unfortunately, that most people need.
I agree. And it's kind of hard to filter out information, like what is real, what isn't real, and then finding that in the middle. And the media and people like Peter Schiff, they know how to play on our emotions. They know how to play on things that are near and dear to our hearts.
Yeah.
And that's what he does with the maximalists. And, you know, it's kind of comical at times. Like, I just sit back and I'm like, you know what? I see what you're doing. I see you over there.
Yeah.
And I just don't even comment anymore. And it's all for the lulz.
So, you know, we've been talking about
like I said, I was talking about the debt ceiling. I'm talking about how the more money they print, the more the less the purchasing power goes down, which is these are factors, which is why what you store your wealth in matters and why Bitcoin goes up. I've talked about the adoption, you know, like I kind of wrapped it up for you with U.S. Bank bringing on custody. We talked about there's potentially an ETF that they say has a 75% chance of coming on online. I think they're gauging that through the betting markets, kind of seeing where that's going. And so really in these new technologies, it's about seeing the network effects grow. So that's the users, and then also development. And so these new features and stuff like that. And that's the stuff that I like to look at. I was saying that I think some of this short term, this price is a distraction a little bit. And I say that for me personally, and I want to bring you on to counter this for people that are listening, because for me, I mean, I'm busy. I'm working. I got a business. I got a family. And so I'm kind of like this long-term investor. I always kind of have been. And so I think in things in terms of years, typically. I mean, I got my teeth cut in real estate development, and those were 2 or 3 year projects. So like, that's kind of the time frames I look at. So the short-term price, I it's too much distraction for me, but I know that you keep up with that. And so I'd like to talk about that a little bit. And you can fill us in a little bit on that short-term price action, because I know that you're an expert in that. And so we were talking about how, you know, Bitcoin just popped up to 55,000, which I think it's been about 5 months since it's been there. Before you tell us where you think it is, what's going to happen next, because I know you got the crystal ball. Before you tell us that, I want to pause for 1 second. When we get back, I want you to then explain to us where you think it's going to go, because I know you have a good edge with that. And so people want to stay up with that. Real quick, if you're listening in, you're listening to the Mark Moss Show. I'm talking about Bitcoin. I'm talking about cryptocurrencies. I'm talking about the digital revolution, the decentralized revolution. I'm on with my good friend, Crypto Wendy O. If you're on Twitter, give her a follow. Follow me, One Mark Moss. Send us both a tweet. Ask us a question, and we'll answer it for the show for next week. So follow us on those places. And like I said, get out your phone right now, put out a calendar, a reminder, and set this time and the station that you're on so you can tune in with me each and every week. And we'll be right back with Crypto Wendy O to find out what is going to happen with the Bitcoin price action when we come back. All right, welcome back. You're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about Bitcoin. We're talking about cryptocurrencies. We are talking about the decentralized revolution. And I've been talking about for this whole show now, talking about these big fundamental factors why it's pushing Bitcoin up. But I'm here with my good friend Crypto Wendy O. Find her on Twitter at Crypto Wendy O. Give her a follow. And she is kind of an expert on looking at this price action on shorter time frames. And so Crypto Wendy O, Wendy, we're back up above around 55,000. We haven't been there for, I don't know, 5 months, I think, at this point. What are you seeing in the price action, I guess, at this point?
So this is the thing. They're like, people get so excited and they get so fixated on price. And I get it. But if you're not like somebody like yourself that's like in this for the long haul, long-term investor, you don't have to be so concerned on the price. Like if you believe in something, dollar cost average weekly or dollar cost average whenever. A lot of people tend to forget that when you work like a traditional 9-to-5, I don't anymore. But when you work a 9-to-5, you pull money out. You have your company or whoever it is automatically put it into a 401k or IRA or whatever traditional financial product there is. And that's essentially dollar cost averaging. You're letting somebody else manage your money. But with Bitcoin, we get to do it ourselves. So right. People tend to, and when you're dollar cost averaging, it takes the emotions out. It takes the emotions out because you're just dumping money in and you're looking away. But as far as with Bitcoin today, yes, we are close to that $55,000 area. We did have a bit of a pullback, which we discussed on my YouTube show because I do daily technical analysis, Sunday night live streams. But we're seeing a lot of people get very excited about like this price. And it's like, oh my God, oh my God. And you can also see like on the Twitter feed, you can tell when Bitcoin is green because everybody's happy. And then when Bitcoin is red and we get a red candle, yeah. It's like, it's the end of the world.
Yeah.
So me personally, like, unless I'm going to get into a scalp or a longer term swing trade or whatnot, I focus on price because it determines what I'm going to do with my altcoin investments. But at the same time, it's not something that's going to drive me crazy. And I know we're seeing a lot of crazy predictions. We have people, I want to say it was Bobby Lee. He came out and said $200,000 Bitcoin end of 2021. Stuff like that's ridiculous. It's yeah. Absolutely ridiculous because the amount of capital that would need to flow into Bitcoin would need to be pretty significant. Yes, you can track that with on-chain analytics and with wallet addresses, et cetera. But realistically, people are going to invest and they're going to trade when they want to trade. So as far as like this notion about being obsessed with price, you don't do that with your 401k. I doubt many of you, like how many times, Mark, have you ever had a 401k?
I do, yeah. And I never check it. I never look at it.
Okay, see, you don't check it. And I can guarantee a lot of the audience resonates with that. You have a 401k, the only time you check it is when you get those goofy, silly printouts from your job, whatever.
And who reads those?
I never did. I was like, I'm throwing this out. I would throw them out. So as far as Bitcoin, I'm very optimistic for quarter four. I'm very, very optimistic for quarter four. But one of the things I want to drop, and then again, it's another piece of alpha. This bull run is different than the other bull runs. And this is going to be a little bit of fundamental aspects coming in. We have NFTs that are fully functioning. We have DeFi ecosystems that are fully functioning. And we have crypto projects that have actually created viable ecosystems that are functioning. 2017, we didn't have that. And I'm noticing that money is flowing from NFTs to DeFi to altcoins to Bitcoin, rinse and repeat. And I feel like that is essentially helping to keep Bitcoin propped up, which is outstanding. It's a beautiful ecosystem. But as far as price action, even if we were to drop down to $30,000 again, which I doubt that's going to happen this quarter, but if we do, I'm still bullish and we're still in a bull run. I still think that we are still in a bull run. And I do think that we are going to see $85,000 to about $100,000 Bitcoin.
Wow. I've been saying that, you know, I try to remain conservative, kind of to your point about Twitter kind of almost schizophrenic based off of where the price is, because the price is so volatile. And I've been doing this for so many years, I try to really limit myself. I don't want to get too excited when the price goes up because then I don't want to get too depressed if it goes back the other way. So I just try to be like, if I set my long-term time frames, then it doesn't really matter what happens in the short term. But yeah, I've been saying, I think about 100,000 by the end of the year. But of course, I mean, it's anybody's guess. One thing I hear from a lot of people, and I'd like to get your opinion on this. One thing I hear from a lot of people is they say, I've learned from these, from the last bull market. And this time I'm going to sell at the top and then I'll buy.
No, they didn't.
But they're saying now I learned. So this
they
time.
Did, no, but what I'm saying is no, they did not learn. The reason why they did not learn, I am very active on TikTok. I'm active on YouTube. I'm active on Twitter. I'm active on all these social media platforms. This is my job. And the type of comment, like I made a video saying I am going to be selling about 60 to 50% of my crypto portfolio. As you know, I'm gonna continue to do that. When I say I'm selling, I'm just taking profit on the way up. I'm putting those into stable coins. I'm putting those onto DeFi platforms. I'm earning passive income. The reason why I'm doing this is because I'm mitigating my risk. I do a lot of technical analysis, and technical analysis is a tool that we can use to time the market. But at the same time, there's other things that impact it, like emotions and psychology and just how I'm feeling that day. That's why I'm taking profit on the way up. But a lot of people are not doing that. And I see it because they call me all kinds of things in my mentions and my comments. I'm like, you know what? If you don't want to mitigate risk, don't mitigate risk. That's on you. But this is my income. This is how I live. This is how I pay my bills. So I'm going to be mitigating my risk. But they're 100% not doing that. They're not. And you can't time the market perfectly. If you can time the market, if you can time Bitcoin within $5,000 of all-time high, you did good. You did really, really good.
Well, the problem is that we, you know, when you look at a chart, because it's so volatile, you see these huge peaks and valleys, and you look at it and go, oh, I should have just sold right there, and then I would have bought back in right there. But the problem is you don't know when that top is or the bottom is until you're looking backwards at it. And so like the hindsight 2020 kind of a thing, but the reality is we don't know, and there's so many other factors that play in. One thing that's cool with Bitcoin, I was talking about earlier, different than any other market, is that we have on-chain analytics. Mm-hmm. And so the on-chain analytics are helpful at least a little bit to kind of see, are the big whales buying? Are the big addresses buying? Is it the small retail buying? Like who's selling? Do you look at that kind of stuff?
I pay attention to it, but not super heavily, because the way my mind works is I like to focus on technical analysis. And the reason why is because it helps me. If I'm looking at too many things, my mind is like, okay, well, what about this? What about this? What about that? So I tend to not do as well. But when I cover things on my show, we sometimes do look at on-chain analytics, our analysis. And the reason why that's so important is because when we're looking at traditional financial products, like people use a Bloomberg terminal, that's what you use. And with Bitcoin, we don't have a Bloomberg terminal. Like, we don't really have quarterly reports. We don't have income statements or whatever they use for that silly, goofy traditional finance stuff. But with Bitcoin, on-chain analytics are important. Mining economics are important. When are the miners taking profit? Right. You kind of want to pay attention to that stuff because they're the ones that are doing the OTC deals. Like, they have to sell. So we need to look at on-chain analytics. We need to look at mining economics. We need to look at liquidations when it comes to exchanges, because there's a lot of people that are taking out these big positions, and you can track all of that stuff. So it's important to focus on all of these different aspects, because even with the on-chain analytics, you can see when the whales are buying, but you can also see how many wallets have been dormant, who's holding, etc. And that's a beauty of blockchain technology.
Yeah, it definitely changes a lot of things. I know over here in Puerto Rico, one of my new best friends. I've only made two, so he fits there. But he runs a hedge fund, and he's trading different assets, and he's not really into Bitcoin. But I keep telling him, I'm like, man, the data that you have there, it really changes everything. I want to get into some things about what you mentioned earlier, like scalp trading, swing trading, and this kind of new batch of these TikTok traders and stuff. So we're going to talk about that when we get back. You are listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies, the decentralized revolution. I am here with Crypto Wendy O. Give her a follow on Twitter, Crypto Wendy O. Of course, I am one Mark Moss on Twitter. So send us some messages. We'd love to hear from you, and we'll be right back.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey everyone, welcome back. You are listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about Bitcoin. We're talking about cryptocurrencies and the decentralized revolution. Literally, the biggest wealth transfer we have ever seen, the biggest one you'll ever see. And the way to take advantage of it, the way to profit from it, is to have asymmetric information. That means information that most people don't have, which is why you need to tune in with me each and every week. I'm with my good friend, Wendy. You can find her on Twitter at CryptoWendyO. She's on YouTube as well. So make sure to give her a follow, send her a message, tell her you heard her here on the show. And before the break, she had mentioned something about, you know, swing trading and scalp trading and all these different techniques. And she also mentioned like her audiences on social media, like TikTok, for example. And we've seen over the last year, really, since the pandemic broke out, we've seen the rise of the Robinhood trader and now the TikTok trader kind of a thing. And I see all these people coming into the space and they want to quit their job and they want to be a full-time trader. I'm not on TikTok like you are, but give us a little bit of the landscape, because the stories that I hear, and I don't have firsthand experience, but the stories I hear, it seems pretty dangerous. Seems like there's a lot of bad information going on around out there.
This is the thing. TikTok is a great platform. You can get a lot of information that you may not see on social media or media outlets, whatever it is. So TikTok does have a lot of really great things there. However, there are some issues, and the issues that can arise is that there's a lot of misinformation. The misinformation is like, I made this much money in crypto. I did this or I did that, or I'm putting, you know, $20 into coin X, Y, and Z that is trading at 50 Satoshis, and once it goes to a dollar, I'll become a trillionaire. That type of stuff is ridiculous. And a lot of people, this is the thing. The way our minds have evolved is that we are generally prone to believe anything that we see without doing research, because we're not taught to do research in school. We're not taught to, a lot of our parents, you know, were busy raising us as kids. They didn't really, you know, kind of hone in hard, like got to do your own research or, you know, pay attention.
Not just that, but even today we're seeing literally like the propaganda coming out about, mm-hmm. you know, the whole pandemic thing. They're saying, don't do your own research. Like they're saying it's dangerous right. to do your own research. And then they're virtue signaling. Now it's virtuous to outsource your thinking to experts. Don't think, just listen to the experts. So to your point, we weren't taught it and now they're even discouraging it.
Well, let me tell you something. I worked in healthcare, which in HIV AIDS for 7 years, managing and coordinating patient care. And probably you want to know what one of the most interesting things that I saw in my healthcare profession.
What's that?
I saw doctors and pharmacists Googling information.
Oh yeah.
Googling information. The fact that these people are experts and they're having to Google information that you can Google yourself, that tells me a little bit about everything. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Well, true story on that for a second. I mean, we're going off topic here, but this is a true story. My sister's an ER doctor, and she was working in her hospital. I'm not going to mention where. And it unfortunately is in California, and it was understaffed, and they just couldn't get this hospital running right. And it was, I think, late at night, overnight shift. And she had a patient come in with like a whatever the device is that keeps your heart running. I forget what it's called.
I know what you're talking about. I can't remember, though.
She couldn't get the cardiologist to come in. Like, it was like late at night and he wasn't answering. He wouldn't come in, whatever. Like, the patient's going to die. And she literally went on YouTube and found a video of how to like rewire it or whatever, and did it off of a YouTube video, saved the person's life. But anyway, to your point, it wasn't Google, but it was YouTube. Same thing.
Yeah, but that's the thing is, like, I mean, and this kind of goes back to Bitcoin and the ethos of Bitcoin, about being a free thinker, about being self-sovereign, about being free. And you need to ask questions. Like the way I learned about Bitcoin was by doing my own research and like educating myself. And it's okay to ask questions. It's okay to think for yourself. If you're doing it in a respectful manner, you're like, hey, I just want to know more about this. That's okay. And if you're listening to this, don't let anybody discourage you. Yeah. That's on being educated. That's on taking responsibility for your own actions. And that's on you wanting to improve your quality of life. So if somebody's making you feel bad for not educating yourself, that's on them. That's not on you. And that's probably not somebody I would associate with. But back to the whole TikTok thing. TikTok's great. You get a lot of great information. My videos that are informative, they get less views than the ridiculous ones. And the videos that get the most traction are people making crazy money, flexing gains, doing all this ridiculous stuff. I saw some kid, he was selling $50,000 in Ethereum by putting the sign up with the QR code and telling people they can use my hose for some Ethereum. And I'm going to leave this stand here and they're going to pay me in Ethereum. And like, it was all cap. It was all fake. But it's like, don't believe everything you see on the internet. Trading is hard. Scalping is hard. Swing trading is hard. Investing is hard. That's why we don't have a lot of people. That's why majority of the population doesn't do it. So if you see somebody making easy money, they're probably not giving you the full picture. And also be wary of those people with ref links in their bio or courses in their bio. And again, I have nothing against that. But at the same time, if this person is saying, I'm making all this money, I have all this wealth, and you can do it here, that's a little bit concerning to me.
Yeah, I guess I'm a gambler because I'm investing and I'm building businesses, which is always risky. But being in Southern California, growing up there, I had, you know, Vegas was always close by, and we'd go out to Vegas on a pretty regular basis for a while there. And some of my friends would have like VIP at whatever casino, right? Because they'd go and they'd gamble a ton of money, and they would have times where they came home, you know, 50 grand, 100 grand, they won. And as glamorous that is, there's even more trips where they lost 30 grand or 50 grand.
Nobody talks about their losses, Mark. That's the thing. Is like, I'll talk about my losses. Like, I've had some pretty big losses in crypto, either with a poor trading plan or because I did something that was ridiculous, like, or I, you know, whatever, stuff happens. But at the same time, nobody's sharing their losses. Like, people are like, look at my algo bot. My bot is doing X, Y, and Z. It's like, okay, but I want to see your losses, because the bot isn't, no bot is 100% accurate. Like, if getting rich was so easy, everybody would be rich, and not a lot of people are rich.
The other thing about that too is that a big problem that I see is that, you know, the professional investors of the world, well, let's say the TikTok investors of the world, most investors, most people that come into it, all they think about is the gains, the potential gains, how much money I can make. Whereas professional investors, the Wall Street investors, they're always trying to manage the downside. It's a totally different game. They build wealth by not losing wealth, as opposed to trying to swing for the fences all the time. And so just that shift alone, I think, is massive to get.
That's actually really good. That's a really good point you brought up, Mark, because I have this term that I use that somebody in crypto, like a good family friend of mine, taught it to me a long time ago, but it's a moon bag. And whether it's Bitcoin or crypto, a moon bag or any type of investing, it's mitigating losses. It's when you are in profit and you take out your initial investment and you take out your profit, you pay yourself, you take that profit and you compound it and you roll it over into something else, and you rinse and repeat this over and over again. And each particular bag you have, or maybe you're just doing this to accumulate more Bitcoin, whatever it is, but each time you do that, you're owning something free and clear, essentially, because you've paid yourself, you've taken out your disposable income, and you're able to have free capital to continue to do this over and over again. And when you own something free and clear, if it goes to the moon, fantastic. If it goes to zero, you've already paid yourself. Also, too, you want to manage the downside. We are in a very amazing time for Bitcoin, for crypto as a whole. But at the same time, and Mark, you've been through bear markets. You know a lot of this stuff. A lot of this stuff goes to zero. Bitcoin's not going to go to zero, but a lot of altcoins go to zero. Take some money off the table, put it in a stable coin, toss it into Celsius or BlockFi or Voyager or, you know, FTX, whatever it may be. Toss it into a place where you can get some passive income. But if you're sitting there and you're not managing the downside or not even thinking about the downside, that's a serious problem. Because let's face it, Bitcoin is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. But what happens if, you know, we don't know what the future holds, and it's a very new asset. How long has Bitcoin been around? 12 years, 10 years?
Yeah, not that long. It hasn't been around forever. And as bullish as I am, I can't go 100% in, because I got wiped out in 2008 for making that mistake, and I can't make that same mistake again. Now, you are listening to The Mark Moss Show. I'm here with Crypto Wendy O. Find her on Twitter and YouTube, Crypto Wendy O. We are talking about Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies, the decentralized revolution. I want to talk about, you mentioned just now, stablecoins. And there's a lot of regulations happening with stablecoins. Some of the, you mentioned BlockFi, Celsius, they're coming under fire. I want to talk about that, because there's some stuff that people need to be aware of. So we'll be right back with that. All right, welcome back. You are back with Mark Moss on The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies, the decentralized revolution. I'm trying to bring you the asymmetric information, the information that most people don't have, so you have an edge. Always, whenever you're competing, whenever you're investing, you need to have an edge. And your edge is having this information that most people don't have, because they're not paying attention. So make sure, set your calendar,
come back each and every week at the same time on the same channel. I'm here with my good friend Crypto Windio. Find her on Twitter, Crypto Windio, and on YouTube as well. She's a wealth of information, a really good friend. And so, Wendy, before we took that break, we were talking about, or I wanted to kind of transition into something you had said. I mean, you talked about, you know, taking profits and putting them into stable coins. And then you talked about you putting those stable coins onto Celsius or BlockFi to earning yield on those. Now, I have, I say over and over, I don't take profits on Bitcoin. I don't ever plan to sell my Bitcoin. My goal is to never sell my Bitcoin. My goal is to borrow against my Bitcoin if I ever need that money. But I do use stable coins in different ways. So I believe that holding cash is important. I believe that cash should be one of my allocations, but I don't like my cash sitting there doing nothing. So I like to take some of that cash, put it into stable coins and earn yield on it. So I do that as well for different reasons. But lately we've been seeing that there's these platforms that are paying these yields out are coming under a lot of fire, specifically Celsius and BlockFi. I'd like to get your take on that. It almost seems like to me the government hates competition. And so like the banks are paying like 0.01% interest. They're paying 7 or 8. They don't want that. What are you seeing on these regulations and what do you think about that?
These regulations are happening. They're cracking down on these exchanges because it is competition against the bank. Why would you? Okay, let's talk about this. Let's first talk about the banks. You go to a bank.
The banksters.
Let's talk about the banksters, the fancy suits. You go to a bank. They make you sit there for hours to open an account. Okay, fine, great. You deposit your money into the bank. The bank then charges you a monthly service fee. And some people, you know, you're able to mitigate that if you make a certain amount or if you keep a certain certain balance. Let's face it, there's a lot of Americans that don't even have $500 in a savings account for emergency fund. And, you know, that's another topic for another day. But at the same time, and that is essentially targeting people that are poor. And I grew up poor, so I'm gonna talk about being poor, and I'm going to use that term poor. Grew up very, very poor. So what they're doing is they're targeting those people and they're charging them. The bank is charging you to loan your money out. They're taking your money, they're loaning it out, they're making income on it, and they're charging you to do that. What, like, how is that not predatory? How is that not wrong? That makes me absolutely angry to hear that. And of course they're gonna get mad, and of course they're gonna come after, like, the platforms like BlockFi and Celsius, because you don't have to pay money to hold your crypto there. You don't have to pay money. You could just transfer your crypto in. Obviously there's a fee, whatever, fine. But you get up to the 8% cash back or stable coin back, whatever it is. They don't want that competition because once the word gets out, everybody's going to go there. That's what they're doing. And it's sad.
Yeah. It is sad. To kind of even compound on that, I mean, to make this even bigger, I mean, this is a global thing. And so we talk a lot about things in the US. Obviously you're listening on the radio right now. Listen to the Mark Maugh Show on the radio. And so, you know, it's obviously US-centric, but in El Salvador, they've made Bitcoin legal tender. And I was down there. I've been working with Bitcoin Beach down there. And some things I didn't fully understand, and I travel a lot, so I kind of have that perspective. But to your point, the poor are adversely affected. You have a bank account. You have to pay, you know, monthly to have your bank account. Well, most times those fees are waived because you carry balances, whatever. Down there in El Salvador, they don't carry those balances. They don't waive those fees. And so typically they're paying anywhere from $25 to $50 a month to have a checking account. And most people, they make $100 or $200 a month. They can't pay that. So they don't have bank accounts. And then, so they can't even join the financial system of the world. And then on the merchant side, to have most of the merchants are selling pupusas or coconuts on the side of the road, or they have a little bodega selling waters, whatever. And they have to have about $15,000 to $20,000 a month of revenue to get a POS system, to get a merchant account, which they don't have. So the merchants can't accept digital payments. They can't be on the financial system, and the customers can't either. They're completely boxed out. So just to kind of show how big that problem that you have there. But anyway, so going back to the competition, what are we seeing the governments doing here? Like, what's the threat, you think?
The threat crypto is a threat. Crypto and Bitcoin is a direct threat to the governments. And it's not even, it's just, we pay so much in taxes. And I'm not saying I'm I don't like paying taxes, but at the same time, like, we don't even know where our tax dollars are going. Like, they say your tax dollars are going to go fund ABC. Really? Then why are my tax dollars going to go fund a school that you're saying it's going to? But the old neighborhood that I lived in, the schools are like a 3 out of 10, and the people that live there don't even send their kids to that school because it's so terrible. So explain to me how my tax dollars are going to help fix this. So there's that aspect. But yeah, they want, the governments want control. The banks want control. They want our money. They're utilizing us for, you know, to fill their pockets. And that's why they're coming after Bitcoin. Stable coins are not poker chips, Gary Gensler. They are not. They're a lot safer. And well, actually, there's nothing wrong with poker chips either. But realistically, stable coins, they fluctuate between 98 cents and $1.02. And USDC is heavily regulated. They go through all these different types of checks. They also are backed like 60% by 60% of cash, which is amazing because most people can't even name what the United States dollar is backed by. Who knows what it's backed by? Yeah. But the fact that, but the fact that they're coming after stable coins that are really not a threat, that just tells you how much they care about protecting the people. Because if they cared about protecting the people, they'd be focusing their efforts on bad actors, people that are scamming people on the internet, heck, even student loans, because student loans are predatory. There would be lottery tickets. There's all these types of things that are out there that are actually predatory, and stable coins are not that.
That last piece that you said there is like the big thing, right? Like, I could literally go buy as many lottery tickets as I want, and the chance of me winning anything is like pretty much zero. No regulations of that. I can go to Vegas, spend as much as I want there. So we can do all these things and blow as much money. We know the odds are stacked against us in Vegas. They don't disclose that to us clearly, but yet that's okay. But yet we don't have the ability to put our money into these other things. And I just think... I read a couple weeks ago, he came out with this big statement, and you know, their whole approach, and really it's all of government's approach, really, like, you're not smart enough, and we need to make the decisions for you. Like, he's taking this role, like, he has to protect us. He's like, I don't need you to protect, you don't protect me. Like, we can do it. So...
it's like, this is the thing. Like, they say that they're protecting us. I don't feel protected, though. I feel like you're telling me what I can't do. I feel like you're telling me that I cannot improve my quality of life because you don't like my lifestyle choices. And it's not even a dangerous lifestyle choice. What is so bad about somebody who's living under the poverty line that is able to put $100 in a stable coin? Let's just say the interest rate is 9% or 10% back for math's sake, to make it easy, and you're earning $10 per week extra that you would have had. That is $10. That is 10 items at the 99 cent store. I used to have to shop at the 99 cent store because I was so poor. And that's not a bad thing at all. But I'm saying 10 extra items from the dollar store per week, that can be a meal for a family. And that's all that I'm saying. And I don't feel that that is unsafe in any way, shape, or form. I feel what's unsafe is that leaving my money in a bank, knowing that it's being lent out, and all the and then the U.S. government printing money like it's nobody's business, and me not knowing if the inflation is going to kick in, and I can't, and my $1 that I have is now worth 25 cents. That's what scares me, and that's what I want to be protected against: the U.S. government printing money.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so, you know, they're creating a competition, and which gives us, I believe competition gives us better product, better service, better prices, but they don't want that. They want us trapped in the system. But that's exactly what Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies are doing. They're giving us that life raft, that outlet, which of course they want to seal off. They're trying to do that with, you know, minimum taxes, global minimum taxes, so people don't move to other countries. They're trying to do that by sealing off all the excesses and keeping us in there. And I think the more that people see the government saying, basically, you don't have the right to hold your money in a way that we can't steal from you. Like, hopefully the more people see them saying that literally, the more they'll want these things. Now, we're going to wrap this show up. We've been going for almost 3 hours here. I'm with my good friend, Wendy, Crypto Wendy O. Follow her on Twitter. Look her up on YouTube as well. I'm also One Mark Moss on Twitter. So send us a message. Ask us a question. We'd love to get back to you on that.
Reach out to me. Reach out to me, guys. I will generally respond. And if you send me an email, I will probably respond faster.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it. Thanks so much. I'll see you next week.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.